So this morning I would like us to continue looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we have come to almost the end of his letter, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. I would like to read these verses first. Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. Says, through all prayer and petition, with this in view, at all times, pray in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and all petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. May the Lord bless his word to our lives. So in these verses that I just read, Paul is summarizing his description of the armor of God, which he exhorted the believers to put on and to take up. And so I asked myself, why is it that Paul ends with prayer? There are some who believe that prayer is part of the armor of God. This is the last piece of the armor of God. There are others who believe that, no, prayer is not necessarily included in the armor of God, but prayer is essential if we are to take up the armor of God. And I believe that this is what Paul is saying here, that prayer and watchfulness are essential for the Christian in our victory in the battle against the devil. Without prayer, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, remains dull and ineffective. As a soldier whose sword is dull, so is a Christian whose life is lacking in prayer. He or she is destined to fall in the battle. The sword must be sharpened through constant prayer and watchfulness. We ought to blend the Word of God, the reading and the studying of God's Word, and prayer together if we are to stand against the devil. Because prayer, again by itself, prayer alone, will result in mere emotionalism. Prayer without the Word is not effective. But the Word without prayer is also not effective. So we need the armor of God. We need particularly the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and prayer. They go hand in hand. And this is so vital for Paul that he calls on the Ephesians to pray for other Christians, but he also calls on them to pray for him, that he may proclaim the gospel with boldness. So that's what we see here in this passage. He instructs us to pray, and then he tells us, he requests prayer for himself. So let us look at what Paul is telling us here as he instructs us to pray. But before we do that, I don't want anyone to feel guilty if your prayer life is not where it ought to be. And that's one of the reasons why I hesitate to preach on prayer, because prayer is not something so much that we preach on, but it's something that we practice. But it's not about shaming people who don't come out to prayer meeting, right? So I don't want you to feel that way. I am here not to shame anyone, but I want to encourage you to continue in prayer. And if you have not been praying, to start praying. But this is not a message to make you feel that you are not a prayer warrior, that you don't have power to pray, you don't have the ability to pray. It's not to shame you. This is the word of the Lord for us. I recall in my old Bible, the first Bible that I had, I wrote a statement that on my tombstone I want these words to be written. He prayed. And then later on in my years as a Christian, I changed it. And I wrote, on my tombstone I want written, he wanted to pray. And then later on, as I grow older in my Christian life, I changed it and I wrote, he said he wanted to pray. See the point? We have the desire, we have good intentions, but we don't always do it, especially when it comes to prayer. But don't be discouraged, because there is one, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, that he prays with groanings for us that cannot be uttered. That in our weaknesses, the Holy Spirit prays for us. Not only the Holy Spirit who prays for us, but the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So we have divine power. The Spirit intercedes for us, and the Son of God intercedes for us. But yet, we must pray. We must pray. So Paul tells us how we ought to pray. He also tells us who we ought to pray for. He also tells us when we should pray. Not necessarily in the order that I just said. It's mentioned in our text. So let us look at what he says. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Through all prayer and petition, pray at all times. So Paul begins by telling us that we should pray all kinds of prayer. Prayer and petition. Now, you would notice, if you are listening, that I read verse 18 and I said, through all prayer. But if you look at the text on the screen, it says, with all prayer. And I use the word through because the preposition that's used at the beginning of verse 18 should really be translated through. Because what Paul is saying here is that if we are to take up the sword of the Spirit, verse 17, which is the word of God, and there is no full stop, there is no period after verse 17. So verses 17 and 18 are joined together. So he's saying that if we are to take up the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, we do this through prayer. Through prayer. And he tells us, first of all, that we should pray all kinds of prayers. Notice the two words that he uses here in our text. All prayer and petition. The first word for prayer is the word that speaks of general prayer. It speaks of praying generally, not any specific request, just general prayer. Right, you pray for the president, you pray for the prime minister, you pray for your parents, your children. General prayers. Just mention the names of people in this particular prayer. It's just general prayers. The second word for prayer used in our text, the word petition, speaks of more specific praying. Specific praying. It could be translated also as intercession. It's a nice word for prayer, intercession. That's exactly what Jesus Christ is doing for us. He's interceding on our behalf. He's praying specific prayers. And when, as God's children, we pray, we should pray, yes, general prayers, but we should pray specifically to God. We should pray intentionally. Tell God exactly what we need. Because He wants us to pray specifically, not so much generally. And Paul says that we should pray all kinds of prayers. The prayers of repentance, prayers of confession, the prayers of thanksgiving. Whatever is on our hearts, we take it to the Lord and pray. All different kinds of prayers. He will not turn you away. He will not refuse you when you come to the throne of heaven. But He will welcome you. He welcomes us. And prayer is one of the best things that any person can do. It is the sweetest thing for a child of God to come to the Father in quietness and to talk to Him in prayer. And may I say, it's essential for us to be praying. Notice I said it's essential for us to be praying. Again, I did not say that it is essential for us to come to prayer meetings. Oh, I would love that, for everyone to come. But this is not what Paul is telling us, and this is not what I'm saying. I'm talking about praying in our private lives, in our relationship with God. Because when we come to prayer meetings in church, this is public prayer. This is communal prayer. But personal prayer is also very vital. Helps us to maintain a relationship with God. How do we pray? When we come to God, what do we tell Him? Well, we tell Him whatever is on our hearts, our minds. But you know, Jesus tells us that when we come to pray, He called the disciples, asked Jesus to teach them to pray. They saw Him going to the mountains many times, and they knew what He was doing. They knew that He went there to pray very often. And they wanted to do what Jesus did. So they said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Very interesting. When I studied this passage in the Lord's Prayer, and I know this doesn't make any sense, but you know, when I read the scriptures, I look at every word and try to figure out what's been said here. And I noticed that the disciples didn't tell Jesus to teach us how to pray. I'm sure that's exactly what they said. But they said, teach us to pray. And, you know, I'm just trying to split hairs here. There's no big difference. But if, allow me to split some hairs here. Suppose they had actually meant, teach us to pray. What I get from that is that they're not asking Jesus really a pattern for prayer, but to teach them to continue to pray. Or may I say, Lord, help us to continue in prayer. But Jesus told them how to pray. And he said, when you pray, say this, Our Father. Our Father. He didn't say, when you pray, say, Our Judge. I'm glad he didn't say that. He said, Our Father. Because when we come to God in prayer, we come to him as one who cares for us, one who is concerned about us. Our Father, who art in heaven. We come to a God who has all the resources to help us in our needs. That's why he says, Our Father who art in heaven. That's the implication, that God has all the resources to help us. Hallowed be thy name. May your name be sanctified. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come in my life. And may your will be done. He says, give us this day, not tomorrow. Right? Give us this day our daily bread. Right? So we pray for physical sustenance. We also pray for spiritual sustenance. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. So as God has forgiven us, we forgive others. And then we pray that God will not lead us into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. That we would not fall into the things that tempt us. See, sometimes we cannot avoid temptations, but we could avoid falling into it. And one of the best illustrations I ever heard on this goes like this. We cannot prevent the birds from flying over our heads. And thank God I'm seeing some birds flying this morning. Spring is near. We cannot prevent the birds from flying over our heads, but we can prevent them from building a nest on our heads. We cannot avoid temptation that comes, but we could avoid falling into it by God's grace, by his power. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, from all evil. Why? Because Satan is the evil one who seeks to lead us into doing that which is evil. And then he says, for yours is the kingdom. Not our kingdom, but God's kingdom, and the power and the glory. Beautiful prayer. And if you follow this pattern in prayer, then you will learn how to pray. You don't necessarily have to repeat those words, but you follow the pattern. You come to God as your Father, and you make your petitions to him. All different kinds of prayers, Paul says. All prayer and petitions. When do we pray? At all times. See that? Verse 18, through all prayer and petition, pray at all times. Paul says earlier in chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, that the times are evil. See that? Ephesians chapter 5, and we take it up at verse, where is that? Ephesians 5. Thank you, David. It says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making most of your time. That's the same word, the word kairos. Making most of your time or opportunity or the circumstances. Making most of the privileges, the opportunities, he says. Why? Because the days are evil. Living in evil days. And so Paul says that we should pray in all circumstances. When you are joyful, you pray. When you are not so joyful, you pray. When things are going good, you pray. When things are going not so well, you also pray. In all circumstances. Let us not just pray when things are not going well. Let us not only pray when we need something from God. Very interesting, Paul does not tell us in our text what we ought to pray for. He just tells us to pray. Of course, later on he tells us to pray for all the saints, but I'm speaking of specific requests. He just tells us to pray at all times, in all circumstances. And we see this throughout Paul's writings, throughout the scriptures. We are admonished to pray always. In Colossians, for example, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, Colossians 4, 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Right? Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Right? Devote yourselves to prayer. Paul says. Also in 1 Thessalonians, the letter that follows Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Right? Pray always. Why? Because it is so vital for us to realize that we cannot live the Christian life with our own strength. No one can live the Christian life by his or her own ability. It is not possible. No human being by himself or herself alone can live the Christian life. And so when we pray, we're actually drawing strength from heaven. That's what it means to pray, to be absolutely dependent upon God. In fact, that's what prayer is. That's the reason why one of the postures of prayer is to kneel. When we kneel before God, we're saying that we are humbling ourselves before the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We come to him as children who need help. We come to him as beggars who need sustenance. That's the need for prayer. That's the reason why we pray. One of the reasons why we pray. We need heaven's help. And it is vital for us as God's people to pray. And may I say, prayer is not when someone is in trouble, they just say, Lord, help me. Now, that's the prayer you find in the scriptures. That's okay, Lord, help me. Right? If you're in trouble, Lord, help me. That's okay. But I don't think that's what Paul is referring to here. Or else he would not have said, pray at all times, in all circumstances. So when you get bad news, don't pick up the phone and call someone right away or text someone right away. Go on your knees and pray. Seek God first. When you receive good news, the first thing you do, lift your voice in thanksgiving to the Father. Right? Be sharp when it comes to your spiritual senses in our relationship with God. Always be ready to connect with Him. And may I at this point here say that if you are not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, you may ask yourself, would God hear my prayer? If I'm not saved, would God hear my prayer? If I am of a different religious persuasion, if you are a Muslim or a Buddhist or of another religion, you might be asking yourself, would God hear my prayer? Well, He would hear your prayer of repentance. And that's what you ought to do first. That's the first prayer you must pray. Ask Him to make you a child of God. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to give you His Holy Spirit, and to make you a child of God. Because when we pray, God only answers prayer that is prayed through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's new covenant praying. It is praying through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only in His name, and it's in His authority that God will hear you and I in prayer. Not through anyone else, not through any saint, but it is through Christ and Christ alone that we can come to God. So if you have not come to Him, may I admonish you, my dear friend, to bow before the throne of God and ask Him to save you, to make you a child of God, and to teach you how to pray. And He will do it. He will do it. Number three, we should pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. That's the realm in which we ought to pray. The sphere in which we ought to pray is the sphere of the Holy Spirit. See, in the Old Testament, God's people were told to go into the temple to pray. Or if they are not in the temple, they ought to face where the temple is located, face the direction of the temple, because that's where God told them that He will meet with them and He will hear their prayers. And in fact, in the Old Testament, the priests were the ones who take the prayers of the people to God. So prayer was, you can say, localized in the Old Testament, was the temple. But in the New Testament, it's changed. We don't pray in Mount Gerizim. We don't go to Jerusalem to pray. Jesus says that God is spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We pray to God anywhere we are, or we pray to him in the power of the Spirit. We pray to God as the Spirit leads us, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Not in any particular place or any particular location. You can pray to God while you are riding the subway or the bus, even while you are driving your car. But don't close your eyes. See, there are some people who say that you don't have to always close your eyes when you're praying, right? You can pray with your eyes open. But we close our eyes so that we wouldn't have any distractions. We pray in the Spirit, in his power, in his will. Then Paul says that we should pray for all believers. See that? Verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, all the holy ones. So our prayer should not be only self-centered, right? We should pray for other believers, other Christians, other churches of like faith. Why? Because other Christians are going through the same struggles as we are. Don't ever think that the church at the corner of Holy Ghost Street and Heavenly Avenue is a perfect church. Don't believe that the church down the road that is filled with people shouting and clapping is a perfect church. Don't think that the church down the road that's very quiet, sing hymns only, and they preach from the Bible, they pray a lot, that they are not going through struggle. They are. Don't think that the Christian who seems to have it all together, went to seminary for a number of years, studied the Old New Testament, the New Testament, studied Hebrew and Greek and Latin and all of those languages to help study of the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Good evangelist. Don't ever think that that individual doesn't have issues and he or she has it all together. No. We all need prayer. And so we pray for one another. And that's what Paul says. Pray for all the saints. The good saints, the bad saints, the rich saints and the poor saints, and all the saints. And if someone might say, why should I pray for a saint? They are perfect. Right? Because some people understand saints to be those who are special in the eyes of God. They have special privileges before God. Oh, no, my friends. Paul is writing this letter to saints. That's what he says in the first verse in Ephesians chapter 1. And a saint is simply one who is set apart by God, one who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you're a child of God, you are a saint. You are a saint, and I am a saint. We are set apart by God for his purpose, for his glory. So we pray for others. Or we pray for the saints in Scarborough. We pray for the saints in Mississauga. We pray for the saints in New York. We pray for the saints in Iran and Syria and Africa and Mexico and wherever they are. We pray for the saints of God because they're all battling against the schemes of the devil, and we all need divine power. We all need divine power. We cannot overcome on our own intuition, our own power. So those of you who are not able to come to pray on Wednesday night or Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, prayer is made for you. We pray for you. And if you have any prayer requests, let us know so that we can pray for you. If you have anyone who needs prayer, tell us and we'll take you to the throne of God. So we pray for all believers. But Paul gives us a caveat to make sure that we don't stop praying. And so he says that we should be watchful. We should be watchful. See that in verse 18? With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance. Be on the alert. In other words, be watchful. And that word alert here could be translated as one who has insomnia, sleeplessness, stay up all night. That's what the word implies. That's what it means. To be sleepless. Why is that necessary? It is necessary because if we are not watchful, if we are not aware of, first of all, the things that are happening around us, we would not be able to pray continuously. Someone said a Christian should be one who knows what's happening in the world. Right? We listen to the news, we read the papers, we see things happening around us. But when we see the things that are happening around us in our society, we should take them to the Lord in prayer. So there are many, many items that we can take to God in prayer. We can never say that we have nothing to pray for or no one to pray for. All we have to do is to look around our society, in our city, and that should spur us on to pray. We should be watchful. We should also be watchful about our own personal lives. We should be watchful about the things that tend to take away our time and to take our attention and drain us and cause us not to pray. We should be watchful of the things that compete for time with God in prayer. We should be watchful about the things that compete in our lives for attention against praying to God, or with praying to God. We should be watchful in every circumstance. You remember the disciples? Peter, I think, and James and John. Just before he went to the cross, Jesus took them aside and he left them at a certain place and he went to pray. And when he came back, they were asleep. And then he went back a second time, came back, they were asleep. Third time, the same thing. What did he say to them? He said, watch and pray. Right? Be watchful. Be alert. Don't give yourself rest, as it were. Be aware of our surroundings. Be aware of our lives. Be aware of others. And let us stay awake so that we can pray always. And that's what Paul tells the church, and that's what he's telling us to do. To keep on praying. In all circumstances, in the Spirit, for all believers. And to guard prayer by being watchful with our lives. You know what? This is the one thing that the enemy wants to prevent us from doing. That is praying. Someone says that Satan trembles when the weakest saint is on his knees. The devil trembles when the weakest saint is on his or her knees. What power can overthrow Satan? What power can overcome your sadness and your sorrow when you're feeling weak and helpless and sorrowful? As a Christian, when you feel hopeless and helpless, what can you do to overcome? Go to the Lord in prayer and stay there on your knees and let your heart be united with Him in prayer. And I'm telling you this because I know that. I've experienced it. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes us. It may not change our circumstances, but prayer changes us when we spend time in the presence of God. So I admonish you to persevere in prayer. If you have never taken 1 hour in God's presence, try it someday. Set aside 1 hour without any distractions and take your Bible with you. In a quiet place, read a scripture, and if you like, you can sing a little song by yourself. And if you also like, you can write things on a piece of paper that you would like to pray and go to the Lord. Or you can just go to the Lord without any paper, any hymn book, and just quietly stay in His presence. I can assure you that when you rise up, you will be lifted up into the presence of God, and Satan will flee away. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for that privilege that you have given to us to exercise this wonderful privilege of prayer. Thank you for each one here this morning. I pray that you will encourage every person who is here today. And I pray that no one will feel helpless and hopeless, discouraged, but that they would know that you love them and you love us in a very special way. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who continues to intercede for us. And because of his intercession, our salvation is guaranteed. Because he is interceding for us, we can also intercede. So we thank you. We give you all the praise for his name's sake. Amen and amen.